This is episode 674 of the AWS podcast, released on July 1st, 2024.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the AWS podcast. Simon Lish here with you. Great to have you back. And of course, I'm joined by my two excellent co-hosts. Firstly, Gillian Ford. G'day, Gillian.
G'day. It's always exciting on the AWS podcast show.
It is a fun day when we get to do it. And Shruti Kopikar. G'day, Shruti. How you doing?
Good, and happy to be here.
It is fun. Let's get into it. We have some really interesting updates. We're going to dive deep in quite a few of them because there's some pretty significant stuff. And we're going to start with the topic of analytics. AWS Glue Usage Profiles is now generally available. Now, this is a new cost control capability that lets admins set preventative controls and limits over resources consumed by their Glue jobs and notebook sessions. So with AWS Glue Usage Profiles, administrators can create different cost profiles for different classes of users, and each profile is a unique set of parameters that can be assigned to different types of users. So for example, a cost profile for a data engineer working on a production pipeline could have a restricted number of workers, whereas the cost profile for a test user could have a restricted number of workers. So you can see how you can manage your usage there. And AWS Glue has also added 13 new transforms, including flag duplicates. So lots of interesting things, formatting phone numbers, formatting case, fill with mode, flag duplicate rows, remove duplicates, month names, and on it goes. This makes it easier and faster for you to build your pipelines without having to write custom code. AWS Glue Serverless Spark UI now supports rolling log files. So this is particularly useful for very long running batch or streaming jobs. So this is good if you've got lots of stuff going on for a long time and you need to fix it. Amazon Redshift Query Editor V2 now supports 100 meg file uploads. So this is a significant increase from the previous 5 meg limit. And this is particularly beneficial when working with CSV, JSON, or other structured files that you need to upload from your local environment into the query editor to do good stuff with. Now, speaking of size improvements, Amazon Redshift has announced support for the Varbyte 16 meg data type. So this goes up from the 1 meg previous maximum to a 16 meg maximum. So you can ingest this data type from things like Parquet, CSV, and other text files, etc. And just remembering the default size for a Varbyte N column, if the N is not specified, remains 64K. And Amazon OpenSearch Service now supports JSON Web Token, or JWT, authentication and authorization. So this makes it really easy for you to integrate it with your identity provider of choice, and also lets you isolate tenants in a multi-tenant environment. Until now, you could implement client and user authentication using Amazon Cognito and basic authentication with an internal user database. With this JWT support, you can now use a single token, which any operator or external identity provider can use to authenticate requests to the OpenSearch service cluster. Amazon DataZone has launched custom blueprint configurations for AWS services. Now, this lets you optimize your resource usage and costs by using your existing IAM roles and or services like S3. Now, if you're not familiar with this, Amazon DataZone is a data management service for customers to catalog, discover, share, and govern data at scale across organizational boundaries with governance and access controls. Now, these blueprints can help administrators define which AWS tools and services will be deployed for data producers, like data engineers, or data consumers, like data scientists, which makes it easy to get up and running and collaborating together. And Amazon DataZone has also introduced advanced search filtering capabilities so that you can understand what's going on in your business data catalog. And this includes improved rendering of glossary term facets, the ability to switch between AND and OR logic for filtering, and clear summaries of selected filters, making data discovery more efficient and intuitive.
Next up, we have two quick updates under application integration. Amazon's Simple Email Service now has a new way to track email sending activity by delivering sending events to the Amazon Event Bridge. Amazon Managed Workflows for Apache Airflow, or MWAA, now supports custom domain names for the Airflow web server, simplifying access to the Airflow user interface. As some of you might know, Amazon MWAA is a managed service for Apache Airflow that's lets you use the same familiar Airflow platform and lets you orchestrate your workflows and enjoy improved scalability, availability, and security without the operational burden of having to manage the underlying infrastructure. So MWAA now adds the ability to customize the redirection URL that the MWAA single sign-on uses after authenticating the user against their IAM credentials. This allows customers that use private web servers with load balancers, custom DNS entries, or proxies to point users to a user-friendly web address while maintaining the simplicity of MWAA's IAM integration.
We've got some really good updates on artificial intelligence. First one is Anthropic's Claude 3.5 Sonnet model is now available in Amazon Bedrock. Claude 3.5 Sonnet sets a new industry standard for intelligence. The model outperforms other generative AI models in the industry, as well as Anthropic's previously most intelligent model, Claude 3 Opus, on a wide range of valuations, all while being one-fifth the cost of Opus. Claude 3.5 Sonnet exhibits marked improvements in near-human levels of comprehension and fluency. The model represents a significant leap in quality content that feels more authentic, with a natural and relatable tone. Claude 3.5 Sonnet is also Anthropic's strongest vision model, providing best-in-class vision capabilities. It can accurately interpret charts and graphs and transcribe text from imperfect images. Additionally, when instructed and provided with the relevant tools, Claude 3.5 Sonnet can independently write and edit code with sophisticated reasoning and troubleshooting capabilities. Currently available in US East 1, which is the Northern Virginia. Really, really excited to see that and see what customers use it for. Another one from Bedrock is it now supports compressed embeddings from Cohere Embed. Cohere Embed is a leading text embedding model. It is most frequently used to power retrieval augmented generation, also referred to as RAG, and semantic search systems. Amazon SageMaker Jumpstart now provides granular access control for foundation models. Amazon SageMaker HyperPod now supports configurable cluster storage. And this is a big one that I'm really excited about for anyone here who wants to implement MLOps and you just want a way to be able to do it natively in SageMaker. This one's super exciting because Amazon SageMaker now offers a fully managed MLflow capability. Data scientists can use familiar MLflow constructs to organize, track, and analyze ML experiments, and administrators can set up MLflow with better scalability, availability, and security. So if you're not familiar with MLflow, it's a popular open source tool that helps customers manage ML experiments. Data scientists and ML engineers are already using MLflow with SageMaker. However, it required setting up, managing, and securing access to MLflow tracking servers. With this launch, SageMaker makes it easier for customers to set up and manage MLflow tracking servers with a couple of clicks. But even if you are not already using MLflow on like an EC2 instance, this is definitely something that you want to check out. My certainly recommendation if you're looking for experiment tracking within SageMaker and want a way to be able to do it natively.
It sounds like a good example of our old friend, undifferentiated heavy lifting to me.
100%. Yep. Models that are registered in MLflow, they automatically appear in the SageMaker model registry for a unified model governance experience, and customers can deploy MLflow models to SageMaker inference without building custom MLflow containers. So this is absolutely great if you're already using SageMaker and just haven't started your MLOps journey.
Next up, we have two updates on our compute. Oh, actually, we have a few more than two. Amazon EC2 Mac OS AMIs are now available on AWS Systems Manager Parameter Store. Amazon EKS open sourced the pod identity agent, providing customers with more options to package and deploy the agent into EKS clusters. So pod identity is a feature of EKS that simplifies the process for cluster administrators to configure Kubernetes applications with AWS IAM permissions. Now, with the identity agent being open sourced, customers can build the agent on their own. This will give you various options to package and deploy the agent, enabling you to align with your organization's deployment practices. AWS Launch Wizard now offers resource and tag-based access controls for improved governance and security.
Onto another fan favorite topic is cost management. AWS Billing and Cost Management now provides data exports for Cost Optimization Hub. And the AWS Billing and Cost Management now provides data exports for Focus 1.0, and this is in preview. So data exports for Focus 1.0 now enables customers to export their cost and usage data with the Focus 1.0 schema to S3. Focus is a new open source cloud billing data specification that provides standardization to simplify cloud financial management across multiple sources. Data exports for Focus 1.0 include several AWS-specific columns, such as usage types and cost categories, and delivers exports on a daily basis to S3 as Parquet or CSV files. With data exports for Focus 1.0, customers receive their costs in 4 standardized columns, and it is in preview in US East 1, so it's definitely something that I recommend if you want to really understand how you're using AWS.
Let's talk databases, because you got to put your data somewhere. Amazon RDS for SQL Server now supports up to 64 TB and 265,000 IOPS with IO2 block express volumes. So this is an improvement from the previous 16 TB and 64,000 IOPS limit, and you have to do nothing to get this benefit except resize your volume. So I find this still unbelievably amazing, because I know how much work goes into making that happen, and you get it for nothing, which is fantastic. AWS Compute Optimizer now supports right-sizing recommendations for Amazon RDS MySQL and RDS PostgreSQL. This allows you to identify idle databases and also choose the optimal DB instance class and provisioned IOPS settings, so you can reduce costs for over-provisioned workloads and increase the performance for under-provisioned workloads. Now, this is one I ran into myself recently when I actually looked in the Compute Optimizer to look at some instances I had running, and I actually had them too small. And I hadn't thought of it from that perspective, but my goodness, my quality of life has improved now that I've optimized. Amazon RDS for MariaDB supports minor versions 10.11.8, 10.6.18, 10.5.25, 10.4.34. And the reason why I mention it is your regular reminder to patch your stuff. If you keep your environment up to date, you'll have less security issues. And Amazon RDS for Oracle now supports memory-optimized R6i instance types, and these come in various configurations from 2 vCPUs all the way up to 48 vCPUs and 32 gigabytes of RAM all the way to 1 terabyte of RAM and an up to 64:1 memory to vCPU ratio. Now, this allows you to right-size your instances for your Oracle workloads. Licensing with Oracle can be interesting, and this allows you to reduce the amount of vCPUs you are licensing whilst maintaining great levels of performance.
Next up, we have several updates under developer tools, especially for those developers who are using Code Catalyst to quickly build and deliver apps at scale here on AWS. Amazon Code Catalyst package repositories now support Maven, Python, and NuGet package formats. Code Catalyst customers can now securely store, publish, and share these packages using popular package managers such as MVN, Pip, NuGet, and more. Through your Code Catalyst package repositories, you can also access open source packages from 6 additional public package registries. Your packages remain available for your development teams should packages and registries become unavailable from other service providers. Amazon Code Catalyst now supports the use of source code repositories hosted in GitHub Cloud and Bitbucket Cloud with Amazon Q for feature development. Amazon Code Catalyst now allows you to use Amazon Q to pick the best blueprint for your needs when getting started with a new project or an existing project. Amazon Code Catalyst now offers the ability to link an issue to other issues. This allows customers to link issues in Code Catalyst as blocked by or duplicate of or related to or blocks another issue. The new capability assists teams to visualize dependencies between issues and see which issue is blocked with the other issue or is a duplicate of another issue, so on and so forth. This capability is available in regions where Code Catalyst is available, and there is no change to pricing. Amazon Code Catalyst now offers a new capability powered by Amazon Q to help customers analyze issues and recommend granular tasks. Amazon Code Catalyst now supports managing billing and access with a single AWS account. Amazon Code Catalyst now supports adding a default IAM role to an environment. AWS Code Build now supports organization and global GitHub webhooks. Cargo support in Code Artifact is now generally available. Crates, which are used to distribute Rust libraries, can now be stored in Code Artifact. Cargo, the package manager for the Rust programming language, can be used to publish and download crates from Code Artifact repositories. Developers can configure Code Artifact to fetch crates from crates.io, the Rust community's crate hosting service. When Cargo is connected to a Code Artifact repository, Code Artifact will automatically fetch requested crates from crates.io and store them in the Code Artifact repository. By storing both private, first-party crates and public, third-party crates in Code Artifact, developers can access their critical application dependencies from a single source. Code Artifact support for Cargo is available in all 13 Code Artifact regions.
One quick update on the Internet of Things. AWS IoT TwinMaker makes it easier to create digital twins of real-world systems such as buildings, factories, and industrial equipment. Today, we are announcing the Dynamic Scene feature, which allows for the updating and rendering of 3D objects dynamically based on TwinMaker entities and knowledge graph queries. This feature will make it easier for customers to create and update 3D scenes using knowledge graph queries.
And a nice little update for the topic of management and governance. AWS Systems Manager now supports additional Rocky, Oracle, and Alma Linux versions. These are versions 8.8 and 8.9. And just a reminder, Systems Manager can make life a lot easier by managing all your environment in terms of things like updates, patching, understanding the state, distribution of software, etc. So all the stuff that you kind of have to do.
Next up, we have a few updates under media services. Amazon Interactive Video Service, or Amazon IVS, real-time streaming enables you to build real-time interactive video experiences. With individual participant recording, you can now record each live stream participant's video or audio to Amazon S3 buckets. AWS Elemental Media Connect now provides information about the incoming transport stream and its program media. You can view transport stream information such as program numbers, stream types, codecs, and packet identifiers for video, audio, and data streams in the console or via the Media Connect API. With this new feature, you can more accurately identify and resolve issues, minimizing disruptions to your live broadcasts. Customers can now enable their content delivery network to transparently fail over between two or more AWS Elemental Media Package live origins in different AWS regions. AWS Deadline Cloud usage-based licensing server now offers on-demand licenses for Autodesk 3ds Max, a popular software for 3D modeling, animation, and digital imagery. AWS has launched the NICE DCV Access Console, a new web-based solution for administrators and end users to more easily manage their remote desktop sessions. The NICE DCV Access Console complements the existing DCV Session Manager, which provides installable software packages and an API to manage the lifecycle of sessions across a fleet of DCV servers. With the Access Console, administrators can centrally create and manage sessions, more easily control user and group authorization, and visualize the underlying resources. For end users, the Access Console makes it easier to create and launch new sessions on any NICE DCV client. This feature is available at no additional cost for both AWS and on-premises NICE DCV deployment.
That's pretty cool. One update for security, which is The regular reminder as to why you don't roll your own crypto. AWS KMS now supports Elliptic Curve Diffie-Hellman or ECDH Key Agreement. Now, ECDH Key Agreement enables two parties to establish a shared secret over a public channel. That's not easy. With this new feature, you can take another party's public key and your own Elliptic Curve KMS key that's inside the AWS Key Management Service or KMS to derive a shared secret within the security boundary of FIPS 140-2 validated KMS security hardware module. This shared secret can then be used to derive a symmetric key to encrypt and decrypt data between the two parties using a symmetric key encrypting algorithm within your application. Now, you can use this feature directly within your own applications by calling Derive Shared Secret KMS API or using the latest version of the AWS Encryption SDK that supports ECDH keyring. The AWS Encryption SDK provides a simple interface for encrypting and decrypting data using a shared secret, automatically handling the key derivation and encryption process for you. In addition, ECDH Key Agreement can be an important building block for hybrid encryption schemes or seeding a secret inside remote devices and isolated compute environments like AWS Nitro Enclaves. This new feature is available in all AWS regions, including the AWS GovCloud US regions. Lots of implications for this capability. And again, mathematics way beyond my pay grade. And as I think I mentioned, Jillian, the regular reminder to don't roll your own crypto. I think we can agree on that.
We can. And I think one thing that we can agree on is I definitely want to hear from everyone who's listened. If you want to receive a bumper sticker with Simon isms of don't patch your stuff, don't roll your crypto. So, I mean, we listen to our feedback from customers. They should tell us if they want a sticker on this on their laptop.
Well, look, don't roll your own crypto is not my saying. I just picked it up from others. But yeah, well, look, I do like my isms. So maybe we can come up with a set of celebratory mugs.
Yes, I love it.
T-shirts, caps. Shruti, how do folks get in touch with you if they want to reach out and give you some feedback?
Oh, Shruti Kofarkar on Twitter or LinkedIn.
And Jillian, your fancy schmancy modern way of doing it?
Miss Jill Ford on X or aws.amazon.com/podcast. That's plural with an S.
Don't forget the S.
We have a big, big button that says submit questions and feedback. Like if you want Simon Isms swag. I want to read it.
We do like a big button. And I, of course, am still living in the 90s because it was nice there. So AWS podcast at amazon.com is the place to do it for me. And until next time, keep on building.